George Lakoff, you've become the indispensable wise man in revealing over and over now the importance of how we name things in the news, whether we call it liberation in Iraq or conquest and occupation, things like that, and also this business of framing choices we make when we talk about morality or people's rights. I'd like to draw you also in this conversation into the whole matter of the new media, interactive internet media, which is building new networks all around the world. Do you have an opinion off the top about these new neural networks known as blogs and the blogosphere?
I don't know a lot about blogs, per se, but I'm overwhelmed by the effectiveness of both MoveOn.org and the Dean campaign. And I think the effectiveness comes from a very clear place. There's a huge sense of disenfranchisement in the country. Wherever I go, people feel helpless. They feel that the Bush administration has rendered them silent, has made it impossible for their voices to be heard. Mm-hmm. And what Move On and the Dean campaign have done is allowed those voices to be heard. There are a lot of very, very creative, smart, well-informed people throughout the country. And both Move On and the Dean campaign have found a way to tap that intelligence and creativity using the internet, using the possibility of people sending in ideas, or if they don't have ideas, sending in $30 to a particular campaign, right, or showing up in a particular place. When Move On, you know, writes that there's a hearing in Texas that is extremely important for redistricting, hundreds of people turn out in Texas, hundreds of people that could not have been turned out by any other means.
Yeah, thousands sometimes.
Yeah, it's a thousand. I mean, it's remarkable.
Do I hear a but coming?
There's no but. I'm not saying a but at all. I think this is great.
I
think it is important, and I think it's only the beginning.
I'm inclined to agree. You're in Berkeley, I'm in Boston. Are we kidding ourselves about the red states, or is this a national thing, do you think?
I think that this is going to be a national thing. I think that if you're in Boston and in Berkeley, the internet is being used a little bit more than it is in the red states, but the right wing is using the internet too, very, very
Absolutely.
Effectively.
The war bloggers were critical in the Iraq war.
Sure. So this is something that is being used, and as the current computer generation grows up, it's going to be used more and more. The question is, who is going to use it most effectively and how?
Well, let's talk about it. George Lakoff, if you were there for the California recall vote, explain how that one happened. How was the campaign named and framed
Okay. So
that this Austrian strongman Republican won overwhelmingly and won the Hispanic vote, too? How did that happen?
Okay. By the way, I have a nice article on this and on Alternet, for if anybody wants to read it. Put in my name and Schwarzenegger's, and it will pop up on Google.
Have you been seen together with Arnold Schwarzenegger? Answer, yes, on the web. Go
on
for it.
On the web, and only on the web. Okay. First of all, you have to start before this. Schwarzenegger is not a newcomer. The Republicans have been grooming him for years to run for governor. There's nothing new here. He's the machine candidate. It just wasn't known to the general public, but it was known to the political public.
He's the Republican hero that Warren Beatty wanted to be in the Democratic Party.
Yeah. And so that's the first, that's part one. Second of all, Davis was attacked from the beginning. It was part of the Bush administration's strategy to get rid of Davis. Now, and part of the whole Enron scandal and the so-called energy crisis in California was part of punishing California for voting against Bush, but also and lining the pockets of Bush supporters. So when Bush told the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to lay off and let the prices go up and up and up in California, and therefore, basically make California bankrupt, that was part of a political decision. One, to bankrupt California, which was a wealthy state, had a huge surplus. Two, to embarrass Davis. Now, Davis was not responsible for deregulation. for setting up the situation. He inherited this from a Republican, Pete Wilson.
Right.
But Davis is a terrible communicator. He was trying to be the great clerk, the public servant who was competent and behind the scenes, but very quiet, quietly competent. And they got him for it. You know, they pinned the energy crisis on him. They got it in the newspapers, and he was not smart enough to come out and reframe it in terms of what the National Republican Party was doing, together with Bush and Cheney's cronies.
If politics is about naming and framing, I mean, was there another way for that California race to turn out, Gray Davis against Schwarzenegger?
Well, first of all, there was a way for Davis to pin this on Bush and to pin it on Pete Wilson.
Really?
He never called it Wilson's deregulation, not once. But it was Wilson's deregulation. He never called it what it was. He didn't know how to name things, and they took advantage of it completely. So that's part of the background, and Arnold was there being groomed. I mean, when this was happening, a lot of us were saying, watch out for Arnold, you know. I mean, this is not a secret. Right? Now, the next thing is to understand, how Arnold affects, what's the relationship between Arnold and conservative Republicans. If you look at the moral worldview of Republicans, it's all about individual discipline in a difficult and dangerous world. The assumption behind a strict father family and conservative morality says this is a dangerous world. You need protection. You need a strict moral leader who's a moral authority and who will protect you and be strong and punish the bad guys.
Yeah.
Okay? Who better than the Terminator, right?
We can see how that one turns out, right.
Yeah, who better than the guy who built his body by discipline, day after day, lifting weights. What is more discipline than that? Okay? He is Mr. Discipline.
But was the result then preordained?
I think so. I mean, I think that given Davis's inability to communicate, Bustamante is not too bright. And given that, there's another part of this. The Republicans managed to misrepresent the economic situation in California. That is what, remember, that California is a rich state. There's
right.
plenty of money to pay off the government deficit. The problem is that the conservatives got an initiative passed a few years ago that says that any new taxes have to get a two-thirds vote. And the Democrats only control about 55%. They don't. You need Republicans voting with you to get the two-thirds vote.
Yeah.
And the Republicans were the people who created the deficit by not having people in this rich state pay a little bit more taxes to get over it. They wanted to embarrass Davis.
Interesting. George Dykoff, I wish you'd use the naming, framing game to talk about Iraq. I mean, the word imperialism was, of course, out. Occupation has barely made it in. One never, ever refers to the governing council as a puppet government, but that's, of course, what we would call it if China had installed it or the Russians had installed it. How do you see the whole Iraq context being named and framed?
Well, first of all, you have to think about the totality of what the Iraq war was about. It was portrayed as a war of liberation and as a war to stop the evil Saddam Hussein, who was indeed evil, and a war to get the control of the weapons of mass destruction, none of which have been found. But that was the overt reason given for going to war in the public. However, the Iraq War was proposed by neoconservatives years before that, during the Clinton administration, and they had a very different view, which is part of the rationale for going to war. One, they wanted to control the second largest oil reserve in the world, which is in Iraq, and that helps solidify control for cheap oil for American industry for a long time, and also puts pressure on Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia can no longer exert as much control over oil and so on once that oil gets flowing in a serious way. Secondly, one of the purposes was to have a control of a major country in the Middle East. And by control, I don't necessarily mean control of every aspect of government. There is a puppet government set up now. But they wanted a government that was favorable to the U.S. And that was controlled by, whose business structure was controlled by the same mechanism that controls American business.
Mm-hmm.
They've been insistent that all of the businesses be set up by American business. And that means American corporations are going to own many of the businesses over there, or that the structure of business is going to become like the structure of American business, that Americans are going to be able to invest and own a lot of the Iraqi industry, and that there's going to be a lot of cheap labor in Iraq used in trade with us, and so on. In addition to that, this is supposed to be a model for democracy in the Middle East, but they want to make sure that it's not a real democracy, because that would be a Shiite government, which would probably be a theocracy. So they want to, they never really say democracy. They talk about a representative government, which is not unreasonable in some respects, because they don't want the Shiites to run Iraq. But that means a non-democratic government, which is a little bit problematic for Americans. So it's never really set up, talked about that way. It's talked about as a representative government, which is, where the majority should not rule. Again, democracy does respect the rights of minorities, and there's a rationale for that, and that's, not a bad thing. But it's not discussed that way.
Mm.
It's discussed as democracy, which it really isn't in a serious fashion. Part of the goal was to enable us to establish military bases there, which we have, which would stay there. And all the current plans are to keep our military bases in Iraq, which would allow us to threaten other countries around there militarily, putting military pressure on them. And another, and also for us to establish radio stations to broadcast
right.
into other countries in the region.
Well, now,
the major, what I'm saying is this, the Iraq War was what I call a strategic initiative by the Bush administration. A strategic initiative is something that has one overt goal, like getting rid of Saddam Hussein and getting the weapons of mass destruction, but other, many, many other subsidiary goals that serve, an ideological purpose. And that's what has really happened there. None of the other ideological goals are talked about.
Well, that to me is the puzzle. I mean, if this were happening in history, or if anybody else were doing it, we'd call it empire, plain and simple. But none dare call it empire, and none dare say that the 2004 election is really over our identity as Americans with an empire or a republic.
Mm-hmm.
Is that changeable?
It's hard to change in the short run. It is changeable in the long run. Right now, we have no political leaders except for Al Gore, who is now out of office and has, called himself a recovering politician and says he's not going back into politics. Very few people, and he's not listened to very much. He's on, Move On, but he's not, on the major networks. There are no major Democratic spokesmen who feel they can say anything right now. Now, there are many, many reasons for this. One, there isn't a progressive language out there that expresses progressive ideas. The reason for this is that while the conservatives have spent 30 years building their think tanks, the liberals have done nothing. They haven't addressed the intellectual issues. They haven't addressed the linguistic issues. They haven't built a language.
What have they been doing?
They've been helping people who need help.
Hmm.
This is a very important distinction.
Sort of retail, one-on-one.
Well, the way it goes is like this. If you look at the conservative moral system, which I've described at length in a book called Moral Politics, that moral system has as its highest value the promulgation of the moral system itself. You want to extend conservative values and conservative ideas and conservative institutions. And they've figured out how to do this extremely well. And one thing you do is you build infrastructure. So they have hired their intellectuals, they've hired media people, they've got their writing teams, they have their experts, they have experts putting out books on every subject. They understand that ideas matter and they're developing ideas, and then they get the ideas institutionalized. Mm. That is, they have a huge, huge infrastructure. An example of this is, currently one of their major think tanks is building an 8-story building that would not only have a large auditorium and full media materials and workplaces and so on, but would also house all their interns with apartments because it's hard for them to get apartments. There's nothing like this for progressives. The right-wing foundations give large block grants to these institutions. They say, do what you need to do. The progressive foundations do something very different. Progressives have as their highest moral interest helping individuals who need help.
Mm.
And the progressive foundations reflect this. They give small grants. They spread the money around, $25,000 here, $50,000 there. Be careful how you spend every dollar. Document it. No money for infrastructure. No money for talent scouting. No money for talent development. No money for career development. Certainly no money for intellectuals. And the result of this is that the conservatives have won. And the liberals, because of their own moral system, which says the highest value is helping the people who need help, haven't built the infrastructure necessary. The result of that is that we are in a present position. The liberals have not framed the debate. Now, what our think tank is trying to do is use what we know from cognitive science and cognitive linguistics, technically, to take that knowledge and leap ahead. Try to get the debate reframed, not in 30 years, but in 5 years.
I want to hear how you want to do it, but I also want you to put it this way. I'm wondering, what is the effect in this scene, where the conservatives have done most of the naming and the framing, what is the effect of this diversified media on the Internet that can shape a new conversation all kinds of different ways with individual liberated voices all over the place and can form a conversation that's much more like a sphere, as they say, than a top-down hierarchy?
Well, if they can succeed in getting through to those portions of the population who have both models of the world and use them both in different parts of their lives, but who are undecided about which model to use in politics, should they think about politics from a progressive perspective or a conservative perspective, when they might think about their family from a progressive perspective and their business from a conservative perspective, how do they apply this to politics? What the conservatives do through language is they activate a conservative model in their brains, in their minds. And if their language can be passed not only over TV, but over the Internet, and if that language gets into the blogs, gets into what people read every day, gets into their news or Internet news sources, then they will continue controlling.
Mm.
Now, what is currently happening on the Internet is that there are a lot of attacks on Bush, but that doesn't help.
Explain that.
Well, the way I teach it to my classes is this. I say, I give them an assignment, an immediate assignment. Don't think of an elephant. Whatever you do, do not think of an elephant.
Right.
Right? And, of course, no one can do it. You have to think of an elephant, right, in order not to.
I can see it right now, right?
You got it. Okay? Now, the same thing happens when you say, if you go on Fox News, how does that work? They have, you know, fair and balanced, two liberals, two conservatives, but the guy running the show frames the question in a conservative way. Are you for or against the president's tax relief plan? Right? And it doesn't matter what you say, you're activating tax relief with the metaphor that tax is an affliction. Okay? Now, it's the same sort of thing. If you're against, if you come out and say, I'm against tax relief, you're a bad guy just by saying it, right?
Right.
You can't win. If you use their language, you use their mode of thought. You use the way they think about the world. Now, when you come out and just say, stop Bush, you're not giving a new way of thinking about the world. You're, in fact, saying, here's the horrible things he's doing, here, 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 and here, but you're preaching to the choir. You know, you're preaching to the people who are already agreeing with you, but you're not activating a new model of the world with new language that politicians can talk in terms of positively. Politicians have to be able to use language that already exists. They can't just make up new language. They have to use ideas that already exist. They can't just make up new ideas that their constituents, you know, have never heard before and wouldn't know what to make of.
Well,
so it's the job of the rest of us to get that language out there, to get those ideas out there.